Hello, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Pastor Larry, or should I say Brother Larry. We're talking about how to draw near to the Father, how to draw near to Christ, because he wants us near to his heart, as we discussed in the previous broadcast. And I talked about when we got saved, we still have the old man, that God did not eradicate the old man from us, our old nature. But now we have the new man that's within us, the Spirit of Christ living within us, who stands opposed to our sinful way of life. God cannot have fellowship with us, even as believers, if we regard iniquity in our heart. God will not hear us. Our prayers are even blocked. So we need to, as John said, we need to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So we need to come to him for that forgiveness in order to get back to that nearness. We have to have that. And it's a struggle. Living the Christian life is difficult. It's who you feed. If you feed the old man sinful things, he will dominate you. But if you feed the new man, the spiritual man, he will dominate. So that's what we must do. And it's a battle. The Christian life is not easy, because now we have an enemy. In fact, we have talked about we had three enemies: the flesh, the world, and the devil. So let's read a passage and see this struggle that Paul had in his Christian life. Now, Paul, I deem Paul as the most spiritual man alive outside of Jesus Christ himself. When he was walking this earth, and I am no way above him, but listen even to the struggle he had. He says in verse 18 of Romans chapter 7, he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I not would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I also see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." If you give yourselves over, my brothers and sisters, if you give yourselves over to the old man, and it's a lot easier to do when you're on that periphery of the circle that I talked about, that sin brings you into captivity. So we must make sure we are near to the heart of Christ. Paul says, "I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am." Have you ever struggled like that and felt like that? I sure have. "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And listen to the answer that Paul gives. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind," we talked a lot about the mind, about having it transformed and having it renewed. He said, "I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So they both stand opposed to each other. And which one controls us is which one will dominate. So God, Christ, needs your willingness. If you're willing to say, "I need to be near to Christ," you've made the first step of being at peace and of ease in your Christian life. He wants me and you near him, not on the outside of the perimeter of that circle, living in a defeated Christian life. He does not want the old nature to control our lives or Satan to have a foothold with us. So, the question comes, brothers and sisters, how do we draw near to Christ? How do we battle the onslaughts of Satan and the world and the flesh? Like I said, the willingness to do that is half the battle. So we must have a yes from you and a yes from me. We must say, Lord, I renounce my sins, my fears, my aloofness, whatever the cause may be. I now am willing to come near to you, to give you all of myself, withholding nothing. Here's my heart, my mind, my soul, and my body. Teach me, my God. That should be our prayer. I want to sin less and less. I desire to know you, Lord Jesus. This is a place of joy and blessing, brothers and sisters. Nearer to the Savior is my place of refuge and should be your place of refuge. A shelter from Satan's onslaughts, his fiery darts. It's a place of victory. So let's learn some things I must be in order to draw near to the heart of God. Let me start by saying that most books and online teachings, and I read them, talk most about doing something, that's well and good, but there's what I consider the essential element in our relationship with Christ. And it's not really a secret, but it's also true because it's modeled in our earthly relationships. It's found where love is. To know is to love. The more you know your spouse, the more you should love them. So I'm saying it's the more we get to know our Father, the more we get to know Jesus Christ, who secured our salvation, the more we get to know God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, what they're really like and what they have done for us, then that love begins to grow in our hearts. But that can only be done as we get near to Him, that we're not regarding iniquity in our heart. We can come to a true understanding of who God is, that He's not looked at in our minds like we did in our flesh. A lot of us looked at God as a stern judge or a not-so-good father figure who always wants to discipline, who's always ready to bring out the paddle to get after us. No, no, no. The more you learn about God is how God loves us and how He loves you. He loves each and every one of us. There's no special Christian in God's mind, in God's sight. We just draw near to His heart. The pastor is not any more favored than what you are. Some people have just learned to know. Some believers have learned to know how to draw near to Christ. That's the only difference. And you and I can be that type of believer. So let me move on. Knowing what God is like and what He has secured for us and how He has loved us, then we will love Him deeper than we have ever done. We can see through the eyes of our heart, as the Bible teaches. I want to read to you, and that was Paul's prayer to the Ephesians, the battle book we're using. Remember I said before, it's all the armor of God. It's all battle that Paul's talking about in this book. Because Paul always teaches doctrine, teaching about God, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit, before he gets into the practicality of living the spiritual life. And then he concludes with the spiritual armor. But all this stuff goes before it. That's why it needs to be talked about. It's much easier to put on that armor when you know the Father loves you. So that's what I'm trying to express with my heart in these messages. So let's read that prayer of Paul. I've read it a few times, but I'd like to read it again. I want to have us love him deeper. We want to see through the eyes of our heart. And that's in Ephesians 1:18, which says this. This is Paul's prayer, one of his two prayers in the book of Ephesians. He says, quote, that the eyes of our heart, do you know your heart sees? You know, your mind and your body and your will see the eyes of our heart, which is our emotions, our mind, and our will. Being enlightened. Understand that. I want to be enlightened. I don't want to walk around in darkness, being on the outer fringe of the circle. I want to have my heart enlightened so that, and Paul continues, having our heart being enlightened, that we may know. God wants us to know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power to us believe. God wants to impart to you his power. You read of the great saints and how much power they had with God. It's only because they drew near to his heart. And that's offered to all. It's not just offered to a few special people. I thank God for that. I thank God that God offers me something. I'm not that intelligent. I'm not that gifted in things. But God offers me a closeness to him. He offers me an inheritance. He says I'm rich in the things of God. And he wants me to understand these things. He wants me to know these things. My brothers and sisters, isn't it easier to battle Satan when you can know these things and be able to work them out in your life? So I beg you and I plead with you, draw near to Christ. Are you willing? That's the first step. You have to be willing to do it. Many Christians are not willing because of some reason. And I'm going to discuss some of those reasons. So let us desire Jesus Christ above all else. Let's desire him more than going fishing. That's my favorite pastime. Let us desire Jesus Christ more than Sunday sports. It's not bad to watch Sunday sports, but if that's a desire of our hearts and we're ignoring Christ, then we just set ourselves up as an idol, if I may just shortly say that. Let us have passion for him. Let us be a fanatic. Nothing wrong with being a fanatic for Jesus. We need to know him better. We have never arrived and have full knowledge of Christ. It's just some things that we have to take the initiative to do. God says, I want willing people to do it. I want willing people to come. We don't want to be like Peter, who when Jesus was going to court, it says that Peter stood and watched Jesus afar off. And he ended up denying him. We don't want to be that way. You say, oh, I would never deny Christ. But by our lives, are we following Jesus afar off? And by our living, or by my living for the world and for myself, are we not practically denying Jesus Christ, even though we don't say the words? So that's the question I have for you. Let us hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let us mourn over our sins so we'll be pure of heart. Let us turn to humility and away from our pride. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Yeah, that's pride, my friend. And I hope we're not like that. We have to be humble. We need to seek to be poor in spirit, seeking our Father. Let us develop a merciful posture in our walk with Christ. If we do these spiritual things, the scriptures tell us that we shall see God. I just went through the Beatitudes. But friends, are we willing to have this relationship? Is this our biggest desire in our life? Or do we have one foot in the world and one foot in God's kingdom? Christ is calling us to draw near to his heart that we may really know what it means to be blessed. Okay, so Yeah, enough said, Larry, on that, on the willingness. Let's talk about what may keep us from that closeness to God. It needs to be discussed, my friends. If I want to feel better physically, and I would go to the doctor and have a diagnosis, correct? I want to know what's wrong with me. Why is it any different spiritually in the spiritual world? You might say, well, you know what? Things aren't clicking for me. I don't notice that my prayers are answered. I don't have a desire for this or desire to read my Bible. I don't read my Bible. Well, maybe we're going to make a diagnosis here. Why is it any different spiritually? Let's find out what may be our problem before a cure is remedied. It's true in warfare also. You know, a unit may say, why do we lose this battle? How do we make corrections? Same in sports, education, and government. We stop and we diagnose why we failed. And it's not any different in our spiritual life. And Paul says, in fact, before taking the Lord's Supper, that we should examine ourselves so we will not be counted unworthy, as 1 Corinthians 11:28. He says, and he says, quote, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. So we should examine ourselves. I would say do it daily. Do it daily. Examine ourselves. A lot of Christians don't do that. It's not very popular to do that. Be positive all the time, they say. Well, sometimes negative things are good, too. You know, have you noticed that all the Ten Commandments are negative? They're all negative when it says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. So let's speak to the issue of why believers are not willing to draw near to the Savior. Number one, the number one reason, and the only reason we will tackle today is this. Double-mindedness. James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That's James 1:8. And by looking at the meaning and consequences of double-mindedness, we can arrive at a solution. This is my hope and prayer for all of us, that by solving this issue, we can all draw nearer to Jesus Christ. I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm here to help. I'm here to help myself because I know that I fail at times and I know that you fail at times. And I know that there's Christians out there that are still sitting on the fence, so to speak. And we need to draw nearer to Jesus Christ. I do and you do. We need to be drawing near to Christ because it has to do with our resistance to the devil, our spiritual warfare, and bringing glory to God in the highest. It also has to do with having joy and peace and rest in our walk with the Lord, bringing about our sense of fulfillment or completeness as a believer in Christ. We all want to experience God in our life, to know Him, to know His will for our lives. I want to sense His presence in my life every day, not just on Sundays. Every moment of my life, I want to know that He is near me. I want to feel it. I want to know it. Wherever I go, whatever I do, learning and knowing that He is there, and even when I walk through the valley of death, I know that He is with me, that He is near me. So I think I'm going to stop there, my friends. So you'll have to tune in. Pass this on. Have people tune in. Because it's the crux of how to walk as a Christian. And it's desire of the Father that you get next to His Son. That you walk with Him. You don't walk afar off. Thanks for listening. Pass it on.